Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Wednesday, friends, and if you're subscribed to this podcast feed, you may have been a longtime fan of the Second Print Comics podcast. As you may or may not have noticed, we don't put out the regular every single week content necessarily, although you do get a lot of shows, but we have moved all of our content, the primary amount of our content, behind the paywall in the Second Print Comics Club. The reasons for that are many, but the benefits for that are great for those who have joined the club. You can still get in there for as little as $5 a month and get access to all of our bonus audio content, where we not only have deep dives like the preview you're going to hear today, it's about the first half or so of the show, but you also get a ton of extra bonus content. Thunderstruck, the world's only Thunderstrike podcast. You get Remzo's weekly wrap-ups. You get the Savage Dragon catch-up podcast. You get More to the Story, where I dive through Alan Moore's image work. You get tons of bonus content, including full episodes of our deep dives like you're getting today in this preview edition. But you can check out the full thing, the full club, over at patreon.com/secondprintpod. And the benefits are many beyond the audio. Of course, you can get in there at the $5 level, but we have so much fun. I just put together all these what we call fuck it pile comics that we're sending out to our higher level patrons, where you're getting not only our regular hardcovers for many people that are at the epic crossover level, but also now you're getting a bunch of random comics that I am sourcing just for you. And it's just been a blast putting it together, and I'm already seeing such a great reaction from some of the previews I've posted in the Second Print Comics fan zone, our little Facebook group for the patrons as well. So if you ever thought about joining the club, if you ever thought about supporting the show, if you enjoy our content, I encourage you to check out the Patreon at patreon.com/secondprintpod. Come on over, join the club, and have a blast. Read comics, change the world, enjoy the show. You know how we love our fans, because right now this episode is an example, because we've got one of our top, not just fans, not even just patrons. What's the special? Didn't we have a special phrase for Jeffrey?
Lord Supreme.
Yeah, Lord Supreme Jeffrey. Well, welcome back to the show. This month we are doing a what we'll call a deep dive, I guess, if you can call any part of what we're going to be discussing today deep, into an old Fantastic Four story of old. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
Hello, how's it going?
It is going.
Is that Columbo in your icon there? For those
that is indeed the great.
It's exciting. We should shift gears and do a Columbo podcast. What do you guys think?
That'd be baller.
Oh, I'm willing to bet Remzo has never seen Columbo and may not even know who he is.
I know Columbo from Perry Mason.
He's not from Perry Mason. What are you talking? He may have been on a similar lineup as Perry Mason in the, you know, in the afternoon schedule.
Columbo and Perry Mason weren't the separate, I'm gonna stop. Different I'm gonna stop. Okay.
They're both they both come awry of crime at times. Some in the courtroom, yeah. Some on the streets. Peter Falk, look him up. So many lessons today. We have to teach Remzo about wrestling. We have to teach Remzo about Columbo. But today, I think we're just going to teach Remzo about, you know, we've done a number of Fantastic Four stories. Some of them have been good. Some of them have been, dare I say,
weird.
Dramatic. Some of them have been weird, that's for sure. This one, huh, Jeffrey, without spoiling too much, what if you could describe the following story in, I don't know, three words or less, what would they be and why?
Three words or less? Wow. Weird stuff happens.
Weird stuff happens. Okay. That's actually very hair. And we have a title for this episode. Weird stuff happens. So we're going to be looking today at a classic, if you can call it that, Fantastic Four tale. Now, as I've talked about many times on this program, Fantastic Four, the very first comic I picked up.
The OG.
So they always have a place in my heart. I'm always interested to see, you know, little moments in time, because obviously I started reading at around, I want to say Fantastic Four, I want to say 374 or something like that, or 274, something like that.
So a little around past
the time,
this.
It was around the time when Johnny found out that he was married to a Skrull, wasn't he?
It was literally that issue. Yes.
Literally
spoiler,
that one.
Spoiler alert, yes.
Go back in the feed, people. Everything connects.
Was that on our show? I think that was on Weird Science, I believe.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was like 4 years ago. Yeah,
forever, back when he went on another podcast. But now we are here in the club, and the club is all about pleasing our club members. And for whatever reason, what pleases Jeffrey is this weird story. So can you, again, without spoiling too much, Jeffrey, do you want to give us some details on why you picked this particular story for your deep dive here?
You know me, I like big, dumb comics, and this is big and it's dumb.
Speaking of which, since I got you all on the line, when are we getting more Force Works? More Unforced
Works? That's a good question.
You calling me out?
Can we just shift gears?
Calling me out.
To the Columbo and Force Works podcast. The first half is an episode of Columbo. The second half is an issue of Force Works. I don't know what audience are we going for with that podcast? The answer is Jeffrey.
Just every time there's a break in anything second print comics wise, people just need to think of some like Remzo subplot, like where in the world is Remzo and what is happening to him? And you can fill in the blanks.
All right, well, it's time to fill. I've been avoiding talking about the actual story as much as I can, but, you know, it's done. But if I may post, maybe I'll share half of this episode or so in the public feed, since we don't have as much public-facing content nowadays. But this is a nice reminder to those of you who happen to stumble upon this, that this podcast has largely evolved into the Second Print Comics Club. You can find 100% of our Patreon, of our audio content behind the Patreon paywall over patreon.com/secondprintpod. Occasionally we'll be putting out some public podcasts or previews of the stuff back there, but really that's where the party is. And it's all still after all these years, for as little as $5 a month, you can get in there and access all the audio plus giveaways. You get free comics. Now you can grow your fucking pile, hardcovers, all sorts of things at various levels. But Jeffrey, as Lord Supreme, he gets one of the highest level perks. And that is, of course, one, calling him Lord Supreme, and B, doing whatever he wants, which we're going to do right now. I've delayed it long enough. 5 minutes. Five minutes I put it off.
You tried.
Are you ready, friends, to dive into this tale?
Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, just off the bat, I think I'm finding I do actually miss this style of a cover where it's like sort of a scene from the book, but the scene never actually happens in the book either, like the actual lines. But right from the get-go, you can tell this is a weird and wild issue. Because the cover shows some giant gargoyle person known as Dragon Man. And Remzo, it's been a while. I think it's time. Let's give it a shot. Remzo, what can you tell me about Dragon Man?
Dragon Man is an invention of the mad thinker to basically be half dragon, half man. You may also know the mad thinker's other android, Andy, who is a literal blockhead android robot, who later goes on to be She-Hulk's assistant at her law firm, because Andy the android is not evil, whereas Dragon Man most certainly is.
But Dragon Man is, you know, he was made this way too, so we can only blame him so much, as you'll see in this story. But
it's a broken system creating broken Dragon Men.
I think my favorite thing about Dragon Man is that he is neither dragon nor man. He is billed as half dragon, half man, but in reality, he's 100% android. So there's no man, there's no dragon. He's just an android. But
it's like Mecha Godzilla.
Jeffrey, had you had prior experience with Dragon Man prior to this story, Jeffrey?
Yes. Well, I mean, I've read every issue of Fantastic Four up to this point. So yes, He's not the deepest villain. His motivations are pretty simple. He shows up, he falls in love with Sue Storm, he kidnaps Sue Storm. Then it's actually sort of amazing because they just sort like at the end of every Dragon Man story, they just sort of leave him wherever the hell. Like I think the first time he fell literally into a lake. And so the next time he showed up, he literally just pops back up out of the lake. And it's like, oh, okay. And then like he gets buried.
Hey, we can leave him there. This shouldn't happen again.
Haven't you two like noticed a track record with the Fantastic Four? You know, they leave Super Skrull in a cave. They leave all the other Skrulls trapped and brainwashed to think that they're cows. They left Doctor Doom in a volcano. They left Namor in a cave. They have a habit of just leaving people in places where theoretically they should just probably die.
Or I don't know, put them in, you know, hero jail or whatever, you know, wherever these.
Oh, right. Go, Reed Richards, interdimensional Gitmo.
Oh, he has one of those, doesn't he?
Yeah. During Civil War, it was, it was in the negative zone. It was in the negative
zone. Yeah, isn't that basically the negative zone?
Yeah, it's the negative zone Gitmo. So Reed Richards is all about he's like Patrick and SpongeBob. It's like, let's take our problems and push it over there.
Well, interestingly about Dragon Man, he actually becomes kind of like a recurring character way later on down the line. And I think he actually sort of becomes good and like starts hanging out with the FF and I think studies to go to Harvard or something like that. So that you get some of that in the Hickman run. I just burped while
like,
talking.
I was just going to talk over that. It's kind of like Boys in the Hood, where instead of just being a gangster, he's like, I'm going to college. What, have you not seen Boys in the Hood?
I have seen Boys in the Hood. I'm just picturing Dragon Man in the Hood now. I don't know. I really crossed some wires there.
You could leave this neighborhood? I'm going to college.
Dragon Man in the Hood goes to college. All right. That's not what he does in this episode or issue. Instead, in this issue, a Dragon Man stalks the... Whoops, I got to flip the page here. A Dragon Man stalks the sky, as you can see on my iPad here. This episode is sponsored by Marvel Unlimited. Thank God for them, because I don't know how I would read all these old comics without having to track them down. Without Marvel Unlimited, how would I be able to bring to you today's tale about Dragon Man? So we start off in what I would call a cold open. This really just picks up. I find this so funny. This picks up from, like, I guess, whatever was happening the last issue, and they're all shocked that Agatha Harkness's house, I guess, is disappeared. And instead of telling us what happened, they say, a mysterious summons. A hurried journey upstate. Out of such beginnings are nightmares born. And believe us, Pilgrim, for our unsuspecting heroes, the nightmare has yet begun. Oh, wait, is this not where I... Did I imagine this? Am I thinking of another story? I thought this is the... Maybe I'm just mixing up every story I've ever read. No, this... I am mixing this up. I am mixing this up with something else. I recently did a review of something. I don't know what. But in that review, they said... You know, I had one of these editor's notes in the beginning. I really feel like it was a Fantastic Four story. Anyway, someone must have heard this review because I definitely recorded it about some book. But it started off with, this is falling apart horribly. It started off with them saying, hey, a bunch of stuff happened last issue. We're not going to tell you about it, though. It's really not important. And they moved right on. I guess it wasn't this, though.
Well, I would point out to you that this is not, in fact, the result of a cliffhanger from the previous issue. This is just a straight up cold open. So the last issue did not end with them standing around Agatha Harkness's disappeared house. This is just straight up. This is the start of the movie right here. There's no build up whatsoever. That's something that Jerry Conway did a lot of during this era. He would just start a story without like any sort of build up whatsoever. It's just, oh, we're here in this place and we're doing this thing, and like zero explanation of how they got there.
Did they reference like, hey, we're going to go to Agatha Harkness's house in the end of the last
issue? Nope.
They're just okay. All right. Well, heck. All right. I gave them way
Someone's
too much
really
credit.
Got a hard on for Agatha Harkness.
Well, that explains why they didn't recap it. Why they didn't recap what happened, because we don't know what happened. Apparently they just went to Agatha's house. It wasn't there. And that is how we start things off with, of course, Thing making a joke about Reed's driving along the way. So, you know, they're obviously a little bit distraught about this because they've known Agatha for a long time and she's really old. So who knows what she could be doing? She could be lost anywhere, just casting spells out there. But
Dementia.
Reed is too busy being depressed. Why, Jeffrey? Tell us why Reed is so depressed.
He's depressed because his wife has left him.
Again.
Took their son with him.
This happens often. This happens about as often as Dragon Man kidnaps her.
Yeah. And, so Agatha Harkness had contacted him 30 minutes ago. So, see, they do explain it. I can't understand it. Miss Harkness called us less than 30 minutes ago. She said it concerned my son that we should come here to her at once. So.
All right. But she's not there.
That's it.
And nope. That's it. Cool. And by the way, if you're waiting to see Agatha Harkness anywhere in the story, just don't wait. Okay. Don't hold your breath because you're going to die. Okay. So the FF is trying to figure out what's going on here. And they're being like followed by this probe type device. And then we see from behind, we see a purple gloved figure who is watching them on monitors. So we have a mysterious purple gloved villain that is watching us as we continue to see this probe that is following members of the Fantastic Four. It then strikes at the, now one of my favorite things about the Fantastic Four, what is the name of their car, Remzo?
The Fantastic Car?
The Fantastic Car, that's right.
Fantastic Car.
They're driving around the Fantastic Car.
That was a total guess. I completely forgotten.
This is how
it's like the Fantastic Four and the Batmobile. Okay. It's like it always starts at Bat, always starts at Fantastic. It's only the Avengers where you get Quinjet.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. Or isn't that the X-Men that use the Quinjet?
No, the Avengers have
the Blackbird.
Yeah, they have the Blackbird. Oh, the Blackbird, right. Yeah, right. The SR-71 Blackbird.
Whew, way too complicated. But they get then attacked by this probe that's following them. It like shoots some stuff at them, and they go falling into a hole. Ben Grimm goes and falls right into a hole. Fucking serves him right for always leaving Dragon Man and Dr. Doom and Super Skrull in random holes. But, you know, he climbs right out. And basically this whole freaking thing has been like just them battling a probe for the first, you know, seven pages or so, first third of this issue. And then we see this figure is saying that the man who designed that eye shall pay for his incompetence. This is not good. You do not want to, if you're designing these following eyes, you do not want to be the guy that designed the one that fucked up. Why? Because who's going to get you? Gregory motherfucking Gideon is going to get you. Remzo, what can you tell me about Gregory Gideon? Oh my God, I think we did it.
I think.
This is the first time. This is the first time you had nothing.
He's a bad guy.
This is the first time. I don't think you had nothing. You had nothing.
I got nothing.
Except that he's kind of bad.
He's kind of bad.
He's got a son named Thomas who is sick and wide-eyed. Jeffrey, anything else you want to tell us about Gregory Gideon?
This is his second appearance. This is issue 134, and his first appearance was in Fantastic Four, issue 34.
The Wizard!
So, wow, it is the 100 issue anniversary.
No, he's not the Wizard. No, he's his own thing. He's just
Gregory Gideon?
Yeah, he's a guy who showed up once before and had like a grudge against the Fantastic Four for some reason, and now he's back for revenge.
And we get that
100 issues later.
He even says, he's yelling at his old boy. He's like, how many times have I told you not to disturb me, boy? Gregory Gideon will not be disobeyed. And then we get a little editor's note here. It says, okay, true believers, how many of you guessed it was the man called Gideon from FF number 34? How many of you guessed? Did you guess, Jeffrey?
I actually did guess it when I was reading this issue. Wow. Yes, I did.
Based on just the gloves alone?
Well, no, it's
I
just
gotta pull
at this
more
point,
info on this dude.
Yeah
at this point research. In the Fantastic Four run, it's basically just what is the dumbest thing it could possibly be, and 90% of the time, it's going to be that.
Yeah, it's just like he's basically like a really kind of a poor man's Lex Luthor. Maybe he's like bald. He's just like a bald like sort of villain, right?
I don't know. Oh, you can't trust the balds.
He's just smart and builds things and like pays people to build things.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like a super suit. That's about it.
Yeah,
I think this might be his only other appearance after Fantastic Four issue 34.
But that attack on the Fantastic Four was actually only Plan A. Plan A failed, so he's got to kill the guy that designed this thing. But Plan B, there's still time. It is time to initiate Plan B. And Plan B involves the aforementioned Dragon Man. So we go off to some random ranch. Is it a random ranch or do we know where she is?
It's friends of hers.
Into a ranch and start riding people's horses?
No, it's
and
people that she used to know.
Now, I was
childhood friend.
There is an interesting little tidbit in this scene here. We see she's she obviously took the kid with her, bitch. And you know, so we see a young Franklin Richards who's just like sitting there kind of looking at these ants. But one of the guys comments, he says, you know, he just sits watching those ants and they keep marching in circles like they were following his orders. So an early hint, this is before Franklin officially had powers, but this is an early hint of those future powers. And now I think he's basically God. I think he's like God level powers.
Yeah. Maybe a mutant, maybe not a mutant.
Yeah, there was
like don't get Mark on the mutant thing.
Oh my God. There was the retcon and the re-retcon. Was it I that tried to draft Franklin Richards? Yeah. I was like saving him. I'm like, you guys are idiots. You missed Franklin Richards. And then that
bitch went ahead and ruined everything.
I think he's back. I think I'm just gonna ignore that. I think he's back to is he not back to
it said bitch with love.
What was I trying to say? I totally forgot my
thought. Is he back to being a mutant? No.
Yes, I think he is. Or it was questionable. Like he was a mutant, but then he was like, then he changed it. So they changed it. So his powers, he got powers from the rays, but he reimagined himself as a mutant and that made him a mutant. It was the most complex, some Hickman shit.
Okay, so I thought
what Scarlet Witch did.
I think she did too, yeah. She made herself a mutant too. I don't know. Remzo looks concerned.
I'm trying to remember the last
time. We're going to move on. We're not going to be.
Because I remember Fascist Professor X was like, you can't be part of our crazy mutant supremacist island, Franklin.
Yeah, that was when we revealed that it was not, that he was not a mutant, considered a mutant, because he just dreamed himself retroactively into being a mutant.
Yeah, and even Dr. Doom looked at Professor X and was like, dude, you're a racist.
He's like, dude, you've gone over the line here. This is outrageous.
I am literally Dr. Doom, and I am saying you have to check yourself.
Yeah, my last name is Doom, and I'm telling you to chill, all right? It's time to reevaluate some things.
Be better.
But yeah, they're thinking about it. They're thinking about, you know, if what's going on with this weird kid. And Susie was saying, do you think there's anything strange? And before she can even say anything like, oh, no, he's just a kid being a kid, mind controlling some ants, no big deal. And then as they're thinking about that, Pajam, Kapow, who is it? My God. I can't imagine. Well, I wouldn't have been born yet, but I can't imagine if I was reading this as a kid and seeing this epic splash page of Dragon Man. Jeffrey, did this blow you away just when you got to this?
No, it's awesome, man.
It
would be even more awesome if it was any character other than Dragon Man.
Even Fing Fang Foom looks cool. Can we just admit that dragons actually don't appear cool in the Marvel Universe?
And yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. The coolest we got is Dragon Man. It's the best we got.
Well, Fing Fang Foom used to be pretty.
But Dragon Man isn't a dragon. He's an android. Oh, and Fing Fang Foom isn't a dragon. He's an alien. So
none maybe of the dragons are... There's got to be a copyright.
Maybe there are no dragons. Yeah, maybe there are no dragons in the Marvel Universe.
No, just facsimiles of dragons and androids.
Even Godzilla's playing with the Justice League at DC right now, so we can't even say the old Godzilla stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Copyright strike. Well, go ahead.
One thing I like about this splash page is down in the corner, a little blue panel. It says, and for those of you who care about such things, D-Man was last seen in Submariner issue 16.
What's your favorite part of that? That they tell you where you can last see him, or that they call him D-Man?
Well, no, my favorite part is that they say, and for those of you who care, you know, nobody cares.
I know like none of you care at all, but I have a job. I'm editor and I need to show that I've done some work. So I got to put this note there. My editor's note would just say Dragon Man is neither a dragon nor a man. Discuss amongst yourselves. But he's also like lit this field on fire and he's going after Franklin. Somehow Sue knows that she's going after, he's going after Franklin. This one guy is like, tries to grab Dragon Man, this fucking regular human guy, idiot, and just gets thrown away. Meanwhile, back in urban New York in the borough called Manhattan and the area known as Midtown, man, that's very specific. They can't just say meanwhile, back at FF headquarters, they got to thoroughly describe within New York it is. The area known as Midtown. And Reed is still just like bumming around.
Say goodbye
to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And then the phone rings. And by the way, I didn't mention Medusa is apparently on the team now. She's not Johnny's girlfriend yet.
Medusa was not okay. So Medusa becomes Johnny's girlfriend. Like
Remzo, what can you tell me about Medusa being on the Fantastic Four? Go.
Medusa originally appeared as a member of the Frightful Four. She would later be retconned as the Queen of Black Bolt, Queen of the Inhumans. She would later go ahead and join the team after her younger sister, Crystal, had to leave the team. Crystal was a former girlfriend of Johnny Storm, but later would become married to the Mutant and Brotherhood of Evil Mutants member, Quicksilver. They have a daughter named Luna. Medusa is going to be on here for, I think, another dozen or so issues. She went ahead and replaced Sue on the team.
So Sue leaves, and Reed says, hey, anybody else know any chicks with powers? And they call Medusa. That's pretty much how that goes down.
Well, the best part about that was it's literally like she just tells her husband, like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with these people for a while.
Black Bolt.
And then, like, no contact with him.
So.
Yeah. And, so like, no contact with him whatsoever. So.
And then Black Bolt's like, well, I guess I got to either let this go or kill a bunch of people by talking. So, okay. I guess she's going to go hang out with these guys.
Oh, and something else I would like to point out is Johnny Storm's, that outfit he's wearing, those aren't pajamas. That's his costume. Well, that red getup.
He had that for a bit.
Yeah, but it just looks terrible.
Yeah.
Well, something interesting has happened to me, which really goes to show how prepared I am as a host. I thought I had a fully charged iPad, but it just died. So I no longer have a visual display with me. So perhaps one of you that does could perhaps go. We're going to get to my notes soon. And when we get to 136, I have my notes again. But perhaps Remzo or Jeffrey or a combination of you could guide us through. Otherwise, I got to charge an iPad.
I am trying to find the login.
Oh, Remzo. Oh, dear Remzo.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Reed Richards is still moping about because that's pretty much all he does. And since Seuss left, so he goes storming through. He's suddenly realized something's gone wrong. Yeah. And so they.
See, it's hard. This is a test. This is to show you. It's hard. It's hard to do this stuff without notes in front of you.
So, yeah. So he takes off in the Fantastic Car. Because apparently he's had some sort of psychic impulse that his wife has been kidnapped, because that's that. So yeah, that's level of writing in this is apparently he just like he got a phone call and answered it and nobody said hello. And so he storms out and takes off in the Fantastic Car. And quite conveniently, meanwhile, Sue and the kid are getting taken by Dragon Man to Gideon's base, where he has people in the dumbest costumes that you've ever seen, that she immediately starts fighting back against. And then Dragon Man starts defending her as well, because Dragon Man likes Sue. And that pisses off the soldiers, and so they start shooting Dragon Man, and that pisses off Dragon Man, who starts fighting.
And now we got a mess. An absolute mess. But yeah, this is why I kind of like, it was a little defensive of Dragon Man, because, you know, yeah, he's in love with Sue, and sure, he will kill and cause destruction to, you know, to get her.
Is this like a King Kong type of situation?
Yeah, kinda, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Like, literally, and then, it is King Kong.
So now the Invisible Woman does her thing and disappears and just completely throws off the troops who should have been fully briefed on her abilities, but no. But luckily,
hold on, this chick can turn invisible? Whoa. She's called the Invisible Woman.
Yeah. But luckily, they're equipped with infrared goggles, so they can pick up her body heat and then hit her with the knockout spray. Dragon Man's down. Sue's been kidnapped. Meanwhile, frantic Reed Richards guides the Fantastic Car high over the barren city streets toward Pennsylvania. Consider this man. He's lost his wife once to a harsh word. I think I know what happened. I think he got a phone call from the two people that she was staying with, and that's what made him take off. Oh. Okay, there we go.
So Reed is flying there, but meanwhile he sees some of the crazy stuff going on. He calls in with one of his contacts in the military. They're looking for her. Meanwhile, the news is already picking up that a UFO and a dragon person are doing stuff, and Medusa, using her freaky hair to turn on the knob, starts, you know, figuring out what's happening. And she's like, "Thing, did you hear that? The description could only fit only one creature, Dragon Man." To which I'm like, wow, even on the blue side of the moon, they've heard about Dragon Man. Maybe we're underestimating his reputation.
Word gets around about Dragon Man, but from that one time that he appeared 100 issues ago.
Yeah, so she's like, you know, we got to go figure this out. She goes ahead and grabs this comic book that the Thing is reading, and she's like, come on, Benjamin Grimm, I'm serious. We got to go. So at this point, they have to go ahead and collect Johnny. Johnny is going to go hit up some woman named Dory Evans. Dory Evans turns out to be a twin with a mom or somebody, and he's just like, I don't know, I'm not into moms, like, sorry. So eventually that UFO thing goes ahead and finds Johnny, starts like totally like, you know, blowing up this neighborhood. And he's just like, you know, that whole situation, whatever that was kind of weird. I need some action to go ahead and clear the soul. So Flame On starts attacking this thing eventually. And this is where it's funny. Like, I know the Fantastic Car. What about the Fantastic Scooter? It's like a fantastic tandem bicycle that the Thing and Medusa are riding on.
There's something there. There's a pun there somewhere. Fantastic.
I think they call that thing a pogo something or other.
Well, that's dumb. We're calling it the Fantastic Tandem Bike. So the Thing and Medusa are pulling over across Long Island. They're getting to where Dragon Man is, and what they find is that this dude is down. Meanwhile, what's really going on with their
DTF?
He is just down right now. So what do they eventually realize? That this whole compound that they're on actually has a giant underground lair. So thoughts on this? Like, everyone moved pretty fast. You know, you don't have the smartest members of the Fantastic Four. You've got Johnny. You've got the Thing. It seems like Medusa is the one that has to, like, do all the heavy lifting. I kind of like having it. I always, my favorite Fantastic Four stories are always the ones where you have somebody who's a replacement. Some of my favorite Fantastic Four books are when She-Hulk was on the team. I liked it when Luke Cage was on the team. My all-time favorite was when Black Panther and Storm were the team leaders. You know, I think Medusa and the others don't get enough credit when they kind of fill in the Fantastic Four roster.
Yeah, and then one of my favorites is when there was an entire new replacement Fantastic Four that was consisting of, let's see if I can remember, Wolverine, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man. Who was the fourth? Who was the Hulk. Fourth new Fantastic Four? It was Hulk. Yeah, Hulk was the guy. There you go.
It was Gray Hulk, and it was Danny Ketch, Ghost Rider. So anyway, they show up, and what happens? A bunch of soldiers go ahead and jump out of the ground and ambush them. And here we've got Gideon again. He's like, now three of the accursed Fantastic Four are within my grasp, and well, as well as the mysterious woman named Medusa. Soon the further of their number, the Human Torch will join us, and we may begin. And when this day is done, Gregory Gideon will fear neither man nor God, for he will be above them. In his body will be the powers. God, he talks so freaking much. Will be the powers of the strongest beings on earth. And Gideon will be the strongest of all. Evil.
That was pretty good. I'm impressed. I think you've found your calling.
He's really tapping into that monarch vibe.
I was going with. Yeah, Ventura Brothers, finally. Yeah. So that's 133.
134.
134.
Thank God we didn't also have to read 133. Jeffrey was kind to us on that one. All right. If you can get me through the next issue, Remzo, I'll be able to pick back up probably blindly with my notes. Although I'll probably still need some help since I won't be able to see anything.
I am.
This is how prepared we are. This is why we can't be a real podcast anymore.
I am pulling this up. Do. 1 second. It just froze. This is why I need an iPad.
It froze, just like my heart. Yeah, I can't believe we still haven't bought you an iPad with SPC funds. Yeah.
The next issue is entitled The Eternity Machine. And it starts off with a Human Torch is following that eye thingy and comes across Dragon Man knocked out cold.
Holy cow, it's Dragon Man. I would have said something way more explicit if I saw a man who was neither dragon or man. So I have a question. So Dragon Man, is he like completely sentient?
Well, define sentient. I mean, that's a tough one.
Like, does he have free will?
To an extent, he does.
Do androids dream of electric sheep?
I mean, in this, he's I don't know if he's programmed by Gregory Gideon or if Gregory Gideon has just told her like, hey, I know you're in love with Sue Storm. Here's where she is. Bring her back to me. It's not really clear, but in the end, his love for Sue can override seemingly override programming, right? Because he kind of like ends up fighting with her just to defend her.
Yeah. So this weird UFO thing, which is really just the ship that Gideon has made for his henchmen. Johnny Storm sees that a latch opens up in the ground above the compound where the secret lair is, and he goes down. He just completely skips over Dragon Man Dragon, and he starts like blasting the whole thing. He's just like, you know what, this could be a trap, in which case he's made a mistake, a very bad mistake, because these days the Human Torch doesn't play games with anyone. And I remember in this era, this is where he sets like freaking Hammerhead on fire. Like, this was a whole era of Johnny Storm just not being as happy and friendly and happy-go-lucky as he typically was. But as
he's
John
gone through some shit,
he's gone through some stuff.
Yeah, he's still pissed about Crystal breaking up with him. Is basically it. Yeah. So you got Reed Richards, who's pissed that his wife left him. You got Johnny Storm, he's pissed that Crystal left him.
Like, and he's looking up like ex high school girlfriends and showing up at their house.
That happened.
Yeah, that happened. I glossed over that.
I read Uncanny Inhumans when Marvel stopped publishing the Fantastic Four in like 2015 through 2018, and they made the Human Torch a member of the regular cast. And when he was banging Medusa, that was some of like the weirdest stuff I've ever read.
As weird as Scott, Jean, and Wolverine.
Not as weird, but still on par.
Wow,
it was within that ballpark. It was just weird. It was just weird. Speaking of weird, as Johnny Storm brings his flames into play, burning the path through the camouflage trapdoor, a subtle sonic signal. I love how they used to always throw in the sciency words that justify all their stuff. A subtle sonic signal strikes the slumbering Dragon Man, and the creature awakens and zooms in. You see Dragon Man starting to wake up all ticked off and everything. So then he finally wakes up, and Dragon Man does what Dragon Man does best, starts shooting fire at the Human Torch, eventually knocking him out cold with his giant fiery blast. Silence fills the tranquil spring night, but only for a moment. Then a low hum breaks the quiet, the whisper of machinery, and the tread of booted feet. This is right. Like, this was like art. They were actually like trying to write it. Can you compare this to anything Marvel is publishing these days, where the dialogue and the writing is just so like still and bland? It takes away all the fun of reading it. Well, anyway, we go down to Gregory Gideon.
Welcome to like 100 issues of Fantastic Four. At least.
Yeah.
I do have a question.
Go.
Yes.
Maybe you can help me with this. Since when does fire affect Johnny Storm? Like, he's literally knocked out by fire.
So it's not the fire, it's the force of it. So it's the fact that Dragon Man is hurling basically a cannon, and I guess the Human Torch in this case is hurling like a BB pellet. So it's comic book logic. It's because comics.
Yeah. Because well, there you go then.
So we go down to Gregory Gideon's evil, like, you know, BDSM torture chamber. Meanwhile, some 30 feet below the ravaged lawn, other machines converse in their private language as they do. The hum of their voices is drowned by another voice, one issuing commands. The voice of Gregory Gideon, master of this plan. And he is going ahead and, you know, doing his whole gimmick with his bad guys. You go ahead and see poor Franklin Richards looks so sad. You see Mr. Fantastic and Sue Storm and Franklin on like this, you know, gold finger laser chamber thing, and then off in the corner in the laser cell you've got Medusa and the thing held back, and Gideon is just, you know, gloating in his moment. He's like, perfect, now the torch is my captive, I may proceed. Prepare the eternity machine, my friends.
Your impression's getting better, even though I know you can't really do an impression of someone you've never got to hear before, but I feel like this is exactly what he sounds like.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Compliment of the day.
Prepare the eternity machine, my friend. My life and my son's life now depend on speed. And you've got the other soldiers bringing, you know, Human Torch, who's been knocked out by Dragon Man. And as soon as Gideon sees Dragon Man start to linger and stare at Sue Storm, he just looks horrified. And he's like, I see you recognize the invisible girl. She's Mrs. Richards now, my friend, and no longer available for your simple animal affection. As for her condition.
Oh, right, because they weren't married yet at first. So maybe like when D-Man, as they call him, first showed up in, you know, issue 34, he's thought, well, you know, they're not even married. So like, maybe I still got a chance. But now he's like, what? Mrs. Richards, if D-Man can comprehend any of this, which I'm not.
Hey, you know, if Bowser and Peach can secretly have their love affair behind that little midget Italian plumber's back, why can't Sue Storm and D-Man?
You know, I do like the little bit of just good old fashioned henchman dialogue here. You got the punk, Mr. Gideon. You want? We should put him with the others.
That's a good henchman impression there. You got. Mr. Gideon's. Should we get some?
Mr. Gideon, look, he's freaking out. D-Man, Dragon Man starts like whipping people with his tail and like flipping his shit. And Gideon's just not having this in his,
like,
you know.
This is a bad idea.
Like, the insurance does not cover Dragon Man damage. So he starts, you know, pulling a switch. He's like, idiots, the work, what worked well outside cannot succeed in such close corners. We must resort to sonic control, which woke our rambunctious friend in the first place. So he pulls a switch and D-Man starts like having like an aneurysm or something. And he's like, done. The beast falls. Once again, superior planning proves triumphant. And that, more than anything else, is why Gregory Gideon is in the position he is in today. Man, he loves to talk about himself in third person a lot.
Lots of speeches about how great he is.
Yeah, so the thing starts, like, you know, insulting him, doing his typical, you won't get away with this shit, and Gregory Gideon comes out. He's like, bold words thing from one so securely caged. Your imprecations do little more than amuse me because you are helpless, thing. Helpless! And as he tries to, like, break through it because he's just a, you know, good old bruiser, he tries to break through the lasers. He gets shocked back and knocked out. And, you know, Medusa's just freaking out. She's like, why am I with these idiots? Ben Grimm, are you all right? These light beams seem to be charged of something. It's like, no shit, lady. Gideon comes over.
I thought they were just for show.
Yeah, it's like, you mean you just decided to stay there the entire time? Yeah, you're the real smart one behind the inhuman royal family. Well, Gregory Gideon comes over. He's like, your partner discovered that Medusa on his own. He, like you, is only the beginning to learn the full majesty of my strength. Those light beams, as you call them, are merely radiated electrons moving at fantastic speed. No human may pass through them, even your much vaunted teammate, the Human Torch. So he's being dragged in, and Medusa's just like, you know, like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this against the Fantastic Four? And this is where we get an origin story. So basically, perceptive question, my dear, blah, 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 blah. So basically, like, he funded the Fantastic Four for a little bit, and he was, like, super rich and, like, funding Reed Richards' research, and then out of nowhere, they were on, like, a private jet, and an atomic bomb blew up in the middle of the ocean, knocking it off course, and at that point, his wife died, and I guess his son was, like, you know, in a coma. So he, like, took it personally for some reason.
It's not clear what ails his son. Like, they say his son is dying.
Actually, the original plot line with him, if I'm not mistaken, I think he bought the Baxter Building out from under Reed because Reed does not know how to manage money. And so, like,
he bought his relationship.
Yeah,
I believe he bought the Baxter Building out from under him and then, like, said, oh, and everything in the Baxter Building is also mine because
that's how it works.
That's how it works.
So he's he's dealing with, like, some form of, like, radiation cancer. So he went ahead and built that exoskeleton to, like, maintain his strength and everything and control, like, the energy coursing through his body. And as he saw the Fantastic Four continuing to do well, he, like, took it personally or some shit. So now he wants to go ahead and essentially take their powers in order for him and his son to heal themselves and now become basically mini dictators. I think that's it.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Although it does show that apparently the Fantastic Four were Time's People of the Year.
That too. That happened. And, you know, it's hard to be the Time's Person of the Year when you're, like, you know, dealing with the fact that half your family died in a plane crash and shit. I don't know why he took that so personally. But anyway, the goons go ahead and move Dragon Man into a, they move him outside. They wake him up and they're just like, okay, like, come on, man, you're gentle now, aren't you? And he's like calm now after, like, you know, having his, like, brain exploded by whoever. Anyway, now what we've got is we've got a quick interlude where we've got, who's this guy? Who's the guy in the trench coat?
I think it's just a random henchman.
Yeah, so we've got a random henchman breaking into the Baxter Building where we've got Alicia Masters, the thing's blind girlfriend.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was one page back. Yeah, I think it reveals who they are at some point.
Yeah, so anyway, we have to hear a monologue about Alicia missing Ben and some shit like that. Let's move on. Now we're at the point.
If I could go back a page real quick, just when they're doing, he's telling them the story. Gideon's telling them the story of how he got Dragon Man. How did he find him? No doubt you wonder about that android dragon.
Sure,
we found him in a freight car where he'd been placed by the Submariner. So there you go. Once again, the last person who fought him just sort of left him somewhere. And there he remained until the next time they needed him to show up.
So did he appear in an issue of Submariner as well?
Yeah, that was his last appearance.
Submariner.
In case you're the sort of person who cared. Yeah.
Well, I am now.
So
yeah, this dude in the trench coat, I believe he doesn't actually show up until after this storyline.
Yeah, this is the guy that all the crazy stuff happens to, right? Or with the stuff that we're about to get into after this issue. Well, that was an abrupt ending. Well, only if you're listening on the public feed. This is just my way to remind you, the complete show, again, is available for all Second Print Comics Club members. Check it out at patreon.com/secondprintpod. Appreciate all your support.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.